Grace and peace. I am Pastor Desiree Parks. It is always such a pleasure to share God's word with you. I'm excited to be teaching you today from the book of Acts chapter 8. And I will be reading verses 34 through 38. That's Acts chapter 8, 34 to 38. Amen. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your teaching ahead of time. I thank you for the revelation you are going to bring forth to your people. Father God, I pray that as we hear your word, we get understanding. And Father God, we will begin to walk in your will, in your plan, and your purpose for our life through these scriptures that you're going to share with us today. I give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise, for you alone are God. It's in Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Acts chapter 8, verse 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Hallelujah. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Listen to me, brothers and sisters in Christ. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you ought to walk the way that Christ walked. You are to live the way that Christ lived. We are to behave the way that he behaved. All right? So Philip is on his way to Gaza, right? On the road to Gaza, and he met an Ethiopian eunuch, and the eunuch was sitting in his chariot, and the Bible says that he was reading from the book of Isaiah, and Philip went over by the unction of the Holy Spirit, because the Lord told him, run quickly and go against the chariot, and go have this conversation with this gentleman. So Philip asked the gentleman, the eunuch, he says, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch said to Philip, How can I understand unless someone explains it to me? Unless someone guides me, how can I understand? Unless someone breaks this scripture down for me, how can I understand? Unless someone explains the situation to me, how can I understand? Unless God uses someone to give me clarity, how will I ever understand? How will I know? You see, certain things in life must be explained to you, all right? And the Bible says to anyone that lacks wisdom, in James 1, verse 5, it says, If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all, not to some, to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So if you do not understand a thing, ask God and he will give you the understanding. He will explain it to you. Hallelujah. He will explain it to you. Acts chapter 8, verse 29 and 33 says, Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except a man, some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The eunuch desired Philip, in other words, he asked, he wanted Philip to get into his chariot with him and expound on the scripture, on the word of God to him. So the man lacked understanding, and the Lord knew the eunuch lacked understanding. And because he desired an understanding, he wanted to understand what he was reading. Amen. God heard his heart. He hears your heart and he hears the questions that you have. He knows where you lack wisdom. He knows where you desire the truth of his word. He knows where you really want understanding, when you're not really wanting to walk in your own understanding. God knows. So this eunuch had a desire to hear what the scripture really meant. And God answered his prayer. He spoke to Philip and said, go ahead and go and explain this to him. Hallelujah. The place of the scripture in verse 32, which he read of Acts chapter 8, was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. That's what he was reading. And he said to Philip, who is this man talking about, himself or another man? Understand? When you don't understand a thing, it is the best thing you can do is ask the Holy Spirit. You have to ask the Holy Spirit. We have to stop making assumptions. We have to stop drawing our own conclusions. We have to stop condemning others. When we don't understand, we are to ask the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. We have to ask God for the wisdom that we lack and stop walking in our own understanding. The Bible says that we perish for what? A lack of knowledge. Why are we perishing when God has said to us that we can come to him and we can ask him anything? He said in Matthew chapter 7:7, we are to ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. To anyone, everyone that asks, receive. Amen. You have to ask. When you don't understand a thing, you have to ask. Only God knows the truth. Only God knows the truth. Hallelujah. David, King David had a problem, right? King David was supposed to be at battle with the soldiers, but King David stayed home. And in staying home away from work, David got himself into not a little trouble, a whole bunch of trouble. He slept with Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. She became pregnant. And we know the story. I'm not going to go through the story. Short version. David slept with her. She became pregnant. He couldn't get Uriah to go home and sleep with Bathsheba so he could blame the pregnancy on Uriah. So instead of that, he ended up sending Uriah back to battle and setting him up so that he would lose his life. Amen. See, when you walk in disobedience to the Lord, this is what happens. We don't know the conversation that God had with David, but we knew that David, it was a time of battle and David was supposed to be at work. Amen. You have to obey the Spirit of the Lord. We have to obey the Spirit of the Lord. You have to own your guilt and you have to repent. Amen. We have to begin to eliminate sinful behaviors from our life, people. Amen. When you don't know a thing, don't draw a conclusion. Ask God and he will give you the answer. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that give it to all men liberally and upbraid it not. And it shall be given him. That is what the book of James chapter 1 and verse 5 says, people. Let me tell you something. We have to recognize, we have to open our eyes, open our ears, and begin to recognize the lies and begin to see, hear, and see the lies of the enemy. Amen. That and the lies of the enemy comes in the form of condemnation, not self-condemnation only, but condemnation of others, where the enemy will use our minds. He'll use your mouth. He'll use your behaviors to condemn yourself and to condemn others. Amen. We have to remember, listen, and another very important thing. Remember, Satan uses guilt to gain access. That is what he uses. The Bible says in John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You have to stop condemning. You have to stop condemning others. You have to stop condemning yourself. Amen. Satan, listen, he uses guilt to gain access to your heart and into your mind. Hallelujah. And if he gets into your mind, it's a wrap. Hallelujah. He uses guilt. Let me tell you something. Satan condemns you. When Satan condemns you, you're not even sure what the offense is. That's how you know when the enemy is condemning you. Or condemning somebody. You're not even sure why. What is the offense? You just start feeling bad about yourself. When Satan condemns you, you just start thinking and feeling bad about yourself. Hallelujah. I love Acts chapter 8, how God is so caring, he's so long-suffering, he's so understanding, he's so merciful, and he's so kind. This is an Ethiopian man. He's a eunuch. He works for the queen of Ethiopia, and the man is sitting in the middle of nowhere. And God translates Philip from one place right into Gaza, into Gaza, amen, to meet with a man in the middle of nowhere to explain a verse of scripture to him. That is how important you are to God. That is how important it is to God that you get things right and you do not draw your own conclusion. Hallelujah. When God convicts us, right? I told you, when Satan condemns you, you're not even sure of the offense you've committed. You just feel bad about yourself. You just feel like, oh, I'm the worst person in the world, right? But when God convicts us, you know it is direct and it leaves you with no doubt. You know why you are being convicted. You know the sinful behavior that God is convicting you about. That's how it goes when God convicts us. Hallelujah. We have to be very, very careful. And after God convicts you and you repent, guess what happens? After you repent, the conviction lifts. You feel better about yourself. So that sick feeling that you're having that you can't seem to shake, that is God convicting you. I'm not talking about the feeling that says, oh, I'm this bad person. I feel bad. I'm the worst person in the world. I can't get anything right. If something is wrong with me and, you know, I'm so broken and yeah, I'm this bad person. No, I'm not talking about that. That is condemnation coming from the devil. Hallelujah. We have to recognize the lies of the enemy. This is what I'm saying. Convict. When God convicts you, you feel bad. Amen. You feel like, oh, I feel uncomfortable. I feel uneasy. You know, I feel like I've done something wrong. And the minute you go to God in prayer, guess what happens? And you repent, God is going to reveal the sinful behavior to you. And you're going to know right away that you messed up. And after you repent, God lifts that conviction. Hallelujah. So remember what I said to you, Satan uses guilt to gain access. He uses guilt to gain access, and that's exactly what he did with King David. King David felt guilty, and he felt like he was the worst person in the world. What he did was bad. He slept with a man's wife, and she became pregnant. So Satan used the guilt to gain access to David, and now used David to commit another sin. The sin of he conspired to commit murder. Hallelujah. He wrote Uriah's death letter and put it in Uriah's hand. Before that, he got Uriah drunk, hoping that Uriah would go home. But Uriah was such a man of great integrity. Uriah said, how can I go home when my brothers are out here at battle? He says, I can't go home. So Satan just used the guilt to get to David. He felt guilty. He's like, what am I going to do about the sin that I have committed? I have to work my way out of this sin. And the more David sinned, the more David sinned. Amen. And the more he sinned, the more he gave Satan access through the guilt. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. The eunuch on the road, in the road to Gaza, that eunuch was an Ethiopian eunuch. Amen. We are children of God. And let me tell you something, Jesus Christ, he will redeem anybody who ever believes and receives the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he met that eunuch on the road. Amen. He met an Ethiopian eunuch on the road through Philip. Hallelujah. So if you would just take time and just stay at the feet of Jesus for a minute and speak with him, he'll make you free. He will give you clarity. He will give you understanding. He will give you wisdom. Hallelujah. Romans 8:1 said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Why am I telling you about Romans 8:1? David messed up and God forgave him. Remember, God sent the prophet Nathan to David and told him this pretty little story about one man had many lambs and one man had a little lamb. And David was saying, you know, this man is a wicked man. He took the man's one lamb and he deserves to die. And when the prophet Nathan said, David, you are that man. What did David do? He repented immediately. So there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Listen, when you draw a conclusion, when you condemn yourself, you condemn others, you're not walking in the Spirit. God is saying to you today to own your guilt and repent. And you have to eliminate the sinful behaviors from your life. Amen? Eliminate the sinful behaviors from your life. Hallelujah. Stop drawing these conclusions is what God is saying. We have to stop these things. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Hallelujah. Condemnation is just another kind of guilt, people. It is very destructive. That's what condemnation do. It does. I beg your pardon. It destroys us, and the enemy uses condemnation uses condemnation to destroy you and to destroy others. Hallelujah. Condemnation, like I told you, it tells you you're the worst person in the world because of what you've done. God did not condemn David. David repented. Hallelujah. And God accepted his prayer and forgave him. 2 Samuel 12:13 says, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also had put away the sin. Thou shalt not die. Nathan, the prophet, told David right away, David, God forgave you. You're not going to suffer the punishment of death. Hallelujah. 2 Samuel 12:7-9. What did Nathan say? And Nathan said unto David, thou art the man. 2 Samuel 12:7-9. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. And thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel and delivered thee, I beg your pardon, out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom. God is saying, David, I gave you a kingship. Amen. I took the throne from Saul. I gave it to you. I gave him his house. I gave him his wives into thy bosom and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. He said, I made you king. I gave you everything of your enemy, hallelujah, that belonged to your enemy. And the Lord said in verse 8 of 2 Samuel chapter 12, if that had been too little, God says, if that wasn't enough, David, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Whatever you want, God will give it to you. Listen, people. I don't even. Holy Spirit, help me. Stop desiring things that God has blessed others with, whether it be spiritual gifts, whether it be material gifts, whatever it is, their callings. Stop being desirous of things that God has given to others. Desire the things that God has for you, because you're busy. You're so busy desiring what others have, not knowing that God might have greater things in store for you. Amen. We're so busy tearing down others. We're so busy saying this one is not doing this correctly, or this one is not doing that correctly, or I can do this better. Just so much condemnation, self-condemnation and condemnation of others. Amen. David is this, he desired Uriah's wife. He slept with Uriah's wife and it got him in big trouble. And God is saying, David, I'm so not pleased with you right now. I'm so displeased with your behavior right now. I'm angry with your behavior right now, David. Because I gave you I gave you your enemy's wives. I gave you your enemy's house. I gave you Israel and Judah to be king over. I gave you everything that you wanted. All you had to do was ask me for more if you wanted more. Amen. But no, he said, I would have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised and command the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. God is like, oh my goodness. But immediately, I hear the Lord say, obey the Spirit of the Lord. Obey the Spirit of the Lord. But immediately as David repented, God forgave him. That God forgave him. People, God does not work through condemnation. He works through conviction. If you're feeling like you're the worst person in the world, that is not God. That is the enemy. He is the one that tells you you will never get it right. He is the one that tells you you will never be forgiven. He is the one that tells you God does not love you and he will never love you and nobody loves you. That's condemnation coming from the abyss of hell. God does not work through condemnation. He works through conviction. He convicts you. You feel bad. You feel like something is not right. Amen. Guilt. You feel guilty. But then the minute you repent, God lifts that conviction. Guilt convicts a person of wrongdoing. That's what guilt does. Hallelujah. And it leads us to what? Repentance. You have to repent. I call that one good guilt. The kind of guilt that convicts you, you know deep down inside that you are wrong. And this is what God is saying, you know, just repent. Repent and ask God's forgiveness. Own your guilt and repent. Ask his forgiveness. Let him lead you to repentance. Hallelujah. And you know, the reason God uses conviction is because he uses conviction to keep us or to get rid of sinful behaviors. So he will convict you. If you keep doing, if you have a behavior, like the Apostle Paul said, besetting sin, you will find that every time you commit that sin, if you would just pay attention for a minute, every time I do this or every time I say this thing, every time I behave this way, I get this conviction from the Lord. Hallelujah. What God is doing, he is using the conviction to get rid of that sinful behavior. Hallelujah. 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 2 Corinthians 7 and 10 says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance, and salvation not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh what? Death. You know, we can say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry 1,000 times, but then we continue to do the same thing. That is your flesh repenting. You're not really meaning what you're saying when you're saying you're sorry. Hallelujah. But godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Hallelujah. So when you truly repent in your heart, you will change. That sinful behavior will leave you. Amen. Remember what I said. Guilt convicts a person of wrongdoing and it leads us to repentance. That's what good guilt does to us. Hallelujah. So you have to trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean onto your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge God and He will direct your path. Hallelujah. He will direct your path. God bless you.